वर्स नंबर 30 चैप्टर 7 सादि भूतादि दैवं माम
सादि भूतादि दैवं माम
सादि यज्ञं च ये विदुः
सादि यज्ञं च ये विदुः
प्रयाण कालेपि च माम
प्रयाण कालेपि च माम
ते विदुर्युक् चेतसः टुगेदर साधि भूतादि दैवं मां साधि यज्ञं च ये विदुः प्रयाण कालेपि च मां ते विदुर्युक्त चेतसः. सो हियर द लॉर्ड हैज गिवन अस थ्री टर्म्स फ्रॉम द उपनिषद्स which he has not explained in detail, but will be explained in the 8th chapter. So he says, sir means with, they know me as what? Adhibhuta. Adhibhuta means the essence of all objects. Adhidaivam. Daivam means the sense organs. Devam also means God in heaven, but in the Bhagavad Gita, many times Devam is used as sense organs. So they know me as all objects, they know me as all senses, Adhi Devam and Adhi Yajnam. Yajnam means offering. You know, we all know that when we offer, you know, chant Swaha, Swaha. But in our spiritual literature, offering is the sense objects are offered into the senses, the sense organs, and then the sense organs take that information into the mind and intellect. So it is as if the objects are being offered into the senses and are being offered into the mind. So here yajna means offering all objects into the sense perceptions, into the mind and intellect. So they know the Lord as Adhibhuta, the Lord of all objects, all senses, and the Lord of the mind and intellect, cha ye viduhu. So ye viduhu, these people know me as the Lord of objects, senses, and all yajnas, all perceptions. And what happens to them at the time of death? Prayana kale, at the time of death, api, also at the time of death, cha mam, these people, te know me, vidu, yukta chetasaha, means their mind is ever, yukta means combined, chetas means mind, so their mind is ever joined with me, so even at the time of death, they know me and remember me and me alone. So, as we said, every science has its own terminology, like in chemistry, you know, what is the chemical formula of carbon? C6H12O6. In geometry, the square on the hypotenuse is the square of the other two sides, sum of the square of the other two sides. In physics, E equals MC squared. So every science has its terminology. So similarly, Vedanta has this terminology where the Lord is the Lord of all objects, the senses and the mind and intellect. How is that? As we had talked last week, the consciousness within me, the life principle within me knows all objects, knows, I know the objects I am seeing, I know the condition of my eyes, I know the condition of my mind and intellect. So who is that? That knower is this consciousness. So they know me as the consciousness within. And what happens to them at the time of death? They remember me. Now their understanding or their knowledge, it is vidu. They know it very clearly. There is no doubt. There is no question. Maybe this, maybe that. No. They know them completely. And when you know your mind and intellect, how it is functioning, you know your senses, you know your objects, not only mind, but they know of the entire universe, then such people become dynamic leaders. They become masters of all. And they are the ones who became the great prophets, the great gurus, the great guides, Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda, Shankaracharya, Swami Vivekananda, Jesus, Buddha. So all these great leaders, the spiritual leaders who not only reached enlightenment themselves, but guided us. They left us all the material, the books, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, all the scriptures, and the knowledge that we have is because of these great masters, these dynamic leaders who have come and guided us. So that's what they say, that people have this idea that once a person goes into spirituality, he becomes useless. Which gaya, you know, even in India, they think, oh, if my son or daughter has gone to become a monk, he is wasting his life. No, they become dynamic leaders, and they are truly the ones who live. That is the way to live. Everything else is secondary. So if you have a child or a grandchild who is interested in this, encourage him or her to go, because that is the best way they can live the life. Then Bhagavan says, even at the time of death, they know me, they remember me. How can that be possible? So we have a very beautiful story I was reading about Markandeya Rishi. Some of you may have heard that. It's a very, very interesting story. So Markandeya, before he was born, his parents were great devotees of Lord Shiva, and they prayed to Lord Shiva constantly. And it is said they were so divine that Lord Shiva appeared before them and said, what would you like? And so they said that we would like to have a child. They didn't have a child. So Lord Shiva says, okay, you will have a child, but you have a choice. Either he will be an ordinary child, and he will live a normal life, 70, 80 years, but he will be a very ordinary child. He won't do anything special. They said, no, we want a special child. He said, okay, then my condition is he will only live for 16 years. They said, 16 years? Yep, that's all you get. They said, okay, we'll pick that. At least he'll be a brilliant and a good child, very exceptional. He said, yes. Okay, so they had the baby, a boy. They named him Markandeya. Now, as the child grew up, he was already very devoted to Lord Shiva. He would be chanting the mantras. He would memorize everything like that. He was extremely devoted, would spend hours in prayer, study, all at the same time brilliant, is intellectually very sharp, very bright. And as he got older, his parents used to start crying and become sad. And when he was 13, 14, 15 years, the parents would suddenly start crying. So he's like, why do my parents cry when they see me? Do I make them unhappy? So one time he went and asked them, why are you crying? I'm 15 years old. Have I done anything to make you sad? If I have, I'm sorry. They said, no, it's not you. It is, then they told him the story of his birth, that he was born and he's only supposed to live for 16 years and he's already in his 15th year. And on his 16th birthday, he will die. So he said, oh, is that it? Don't worry about it. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He said, I'm not worried. And with his prayers, he became more and more devoted. And on the day of his 16th birthday, he got up in the morning, took a shower and held on to the shivaling, you know, that black shivaling, the black stone. And he held on to that and kept on chanting Om Namah Shivaya and Om Trayambakam and Namaste Astu Bhagavan and all the Shiva mantras that he knew, Lingashtakam and all. And he went on and on all day. Now, in the evening, Yamaraj, you know, Yamaraj is said to be the Lord of Death. And when it is time for us to go, he sends his messengers. So his messengers came and they saw him holding on to the shivaling. And there was so much power, energy in him and in that shivaling. They were afraid. They said, sorry, we can't even go near that. So they go back to Yamaraj. Sorry, we couldn't bring him. So Yamaraj says, but today is his day. He's supposed to leave the earth. He said, sorry, sir, we can't do it. He said, okay, I have to go. So Yamaraj, the Lord of Death himself comes, and he comes and he watches this young boy holding on to the shivaling with all his might. And it is said Yamaraj, when he wants to take you, he has a noose, you know, like when they do when they catch the cows, how they throw a noose around his neck, or when they want to capture a horse. So he threw this noose to capture Markandeya. And what happened was half of the noose went around Markandeya, half went around the Shivalinga, obviously, because he's holding on. So Yamaraj had no choice, and he held on and pulled on the shivling. The moment he did that, Lord Shiva himself appeared from the shivling holding his trident. And it said a ferocious battle erupted because Yamaraj wanted to take him, and Shiva said, "You can't." And obviously, Lord Shiva won. And then he told Yamaraj that he is my devotee, you cannot take him. And so Yamaraj bowed down to Lord Shiva and said, "Okay, I grant him immortality, he will live forever." And so Yamaraj went away. Now, it does not mean that this boy lived forever, but, and this story is a very, is ancient, it's actually mentioned in the Mahabharata. So it is a true story because it's we find its references in the Mahabharata, which was written about 5,000 years ago. So it is said this young boy then grew up into a great sage, Rishi Markandeya, who wrote so many mantras. He composed a Markandeya Purana and became a great teacher and became a great realized sage. And it is said he learnt the highest knowledge from Lord Vishnu himself. So he obtained the highest knowledge and he shared it and he became a great sage. He became a great Rishi. How did he become immortal? It's not that he's living for 5,000 years in this body. I'm sure he dropped his body when it was time to. But even today, more than 5,000 years later, we still remember this great Rishi with love and with reverence. So that is how he became immortal. So they say immortality is not living forever in this body, but realizing that I am immortal. And that's what they say. As long as there is a single Christian in the world, they will remember Jesus. As long as there is a single Buddhist, they will remember Buddha. As long as there is a single member of the Chinmaya mission, we will remember Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda. So that's what they say, that these great masters become immortal, and even at the time of death, they are not separated from the Lord. So here we end the seventh chapter. Today we talked about these people who are wise, who work without selfishness, whose goal is to become one with God and go beyond death. And how do they know God? They know God as the God of all the objects, all senses, and the God of the mind. And even at the time of death, their one thought is God and God alone. So here we end the seventh chapter. And I would then now like the youngsters to please talk first. And then after that, if we have time, the adults can contribute or ask questions. And then if we have time, we will introduce the eighth chapter, or at least end the seventh chapter with the chant that we do. So let me ask Rishi first. Rishi, if he can say something, would he like to add?
Rishi?
I thought it was really insightful. I thought I liked the simplified it really interestingly, how if you think about God right before death, then it sets you up very well. I think that just gives you like a good reason to always think about
remember,
God.
Remember, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Remember him.
Very nice.
Okay, I had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What thoughts or suggestions do you have of like, or practices can we use to like adopt in our everyday lives to possibly avoid negative thoughts?
To avoid negative thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So negative thoughts come from negative vasanas, you know, tendencies or desires, if you remember the BMI chart. So the best way to purify my mind and remove negative thoughts is use B, M, and I, all three, in the right way. So with the body, I serve God. With the mind, I love God. And with the intellect, I know God. And when I'm serving God, it does not mean I have to give up my career or my profession, but wherever I am, in whatever job I am, there is a beautiful line, Jehi vid rakhe sham, tehi vid rahiye. So the place I have been placed is a perfect place for me to grow spiritually and to serve the world. So there is no accident in God's world. Nobody is placed by accident. The kind of parents you have, the kind of society you have, the kind of friends you have, the male or female body you have, everything is meant for for service, for growth. So I have been placed in the right place. What I have to do is make the best of it. So that's number one. My life should be service. Then my life should be love. With mind, I should love God and love everybody else. Even people who may be injurious to me or people who may be wicked, in my heart, I should not have. That's what Jesus said, love the sin, not the sinner. Hate the sin, not the sinner. So love everyone. And then with the intellect, I should get the right knowledge. Not only knowledge about how to be good in this world, how to be successful, obviously, but also knowledge about who am I, what is my goal. So the fact that all of you are attending Bal Vihar and listening to these lectures, you are on the right track, and continue to do that. Do not give up studying once you leave high school and go to college. Take the Bhagavad Gita with you. We do that. We give to every graduating senior and read that and study that and other spiritual literature. So that is how you can free your mind of negative thoughts.
Shubh
and Ashubh Vasna we had talked about before.
So we should replace them.
So replace your negativities with your positive thoughts. Vandita, you would like to add?
Yeah, I really like today's lecture because I think it gives us, especially as students, like a clear idea of how we should live our everyday lives and the kind of person we should strive to be. I think especially in like verse 28 when they talked about the concept of how we're deluded by opposites is a very interesting way of describing our vasanas. And so it kind of gives me a new perspective on the importance of seeing the good in everything.
Thank you. Very nice. Very well said. Mahima?
Yeah, I agree with what Vanita just said. I don't really have a question, but I have a comment that I think something that you talked about today that I personally need to work on is my gratitude. So I was just been thinking about that since you talked about it.
Thank you. Very nice. Avya?
I also found it really interesting, like with the story, with the man dying and like his thing about the store and how like no matter what we do, it all depends and comes down to the time of our death, like what we're thinking about, and how he said like the way to go about that is just trying to think about God and like appreciate everything we've been given, like more and more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we can really do to like control like what we're like what our last thought is?
As I said, the whatever is going to be your predominant thought is going to be your last thought. So as our life progresses, spend more and more time in divine thoughts, listen to good music. When you're driving, maybe put some good mantras or the name of the Lord or good bhajans. I know we like to listen to podcasts and all, but alternate it that. So the more time you spend in those spiritual thoughts, the more your mind will be. So what they say is the mind is like a groove, and you know the particular kind of thoughts, the flow of thoughts will make a groove, just as a river is created by the constant flow of water. And a deep groove is formed like the Grand Canyon because the Colorado River over billions of years has been flowing in that direction. So if our mind is flowing in the divine direction, then slowly that groove will become stronger and deeper, and then that will become our predominant thought. I think that is the best way to do that. And spending some time every day in divine company, in the company of maybe good CDs. You know, there are so, if you go to Chinmaya channel, go to YouTube, there are so many talks that are going on. Currently, there are beautiful talks given by Swami Tejomaya Nandaji, Swami Swarupa Nandaji. So when you're on the treadmill or when you're on the elliptical or when you're going for a walk or biking, put on your earphones and listen to these. So the more time you spend in company of saints and wise people, the more your mind will be purified. Arpita, you would like to add something or question?
So kind of like what Mahima said, I think the whole idea of like gratitude and gratefulness is super important, especially for us, because we're lucky to be living like the life that we're living. We're blessed with so much. So I think like as we get older, it's important to continue to see the things that we have and appreciate them.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. Sagar?
I like the point you made about how you need to put your own effort into
yes.
what you're doing. You can't just 100% rely that, oh, God's going to take care of me. I'm not going to do anything myself. So I like that point that you made.
Thank you. Yeah, because we live in a karma bhumi. You know, whatever effort you put, that's the result you will get. God's grace is always there, and God's grace is there in the life we have, the abilities we have, our ability to think, our ability to function. But how we use them, that is where we have a choice. So yes, putting our effort is very essential, because whatever effort you put, that's the result you will get. It's also like we said in college, if you put effort, you will get an A. If you don't put effort, you will get a C or a D. So same way in life, whether you are in a career, whether you are in a profession, wherever I am, the amount of effort and the direction of the effort determines the result. So not only in spirituality, but in every aspect of life. Thank you. That's a good point. Rushil, anything you would like to add?
Like you were talking about this, it was a while ago, but like not seeing the negativity in people. And I guess, and I think Amin, she mentioned it too when she was talking, but I think especially today with like the political and social culture that we have.
Yes.
You know, everyone is super divided on all these issues, and no one, and it's not like being divided is necessarily a bad thing. It's the way we handle it and the way it's portrayed. Like disagreement isn't bad, but I think just the whole idea of vilifying anything that doesn't agree with, that doesn't mesh with what your idea is. And so I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about.
Yes,
well.
Thank you. That's a very good point. I think the way to look at this is rather than getting too involved, watch it like a witness. Okay, there is this world, and there are Democrats and there are Republicans, and they are vilifying each other and they are fighting. I may have one or the other opinion, but instead of casting people as villains and heroes and good and bad, just watch the flow of the world, you know. That's what Shakespeare said. This whole world is a stage and we are all actors. And in Hindi, they have a very beautiful saying, Ram jharokhe baith kar, jakka mujra dekh. He says, sit on the balcony of the Lord, of Ram, and watch how the world is dancing, world is playing. And they are coming and going, and people are so caught up in that. We should not get caught up in that. And just watch it and say, okay, that's how the world is. Instead of getting ourselves disturbed, why is that guy like that? Or why? So that is how. But thank you. That's a good point. Rick, anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, I just had a question. You mentioned that, like, if your last thought is about God, you're inclined to...
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So you mentioned previously, you mentioned this, like, many ways, like, through the story and everything, that, you know, if your last, like, your dying thought is about God, you'll reach, like, that level of, like, you'll attain that level of enlightenment as you die. So I guess my question is that, if you think about God, like, on your deathbed, does that void, like, a life of, like, not making the right decisions?
No, that's a very good question. No, it doesn't. First of all, you won't think of God if you have been doing all bad things. But no, ultimately, it is the karma. And that's why they say enlightenment is obtained in this lifetime itself. The Jivan Mukta. So, but those who do not attain enlightenment in this life, if they have done a lot of good deeds, will go to heaven and will enjoy that and then continue. So yeah, no, throughout life, the actions are important. Obviously, because in India, somebody's on the deathbed, they will play the Bhagavad Gita or play the chanting of the name of the Lord. No, but if he has been a criminal his whole life, no, it won't undo that. But that's a good point. Thank you. Alor is here, Sahu.
He just came.
Oh, yeah. So I was also having a similar question like Rick, because the story made it seem like the thoughts that you had right before you died had like a disproportionate amount of like weightage like for your karma. But I guess like your explanation made sense in that if you've been a relatively bad person, then you're like unlikely to have those thoughts in the first place. So
right.
Yeah, that made sense now.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Is there any other youngster I forgot? Anybody else in Ravi?
Amishi
we talked to. And anybody else in Ravi uncle's class? No? If we did, please unmute yourself. Krina, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that it was a while ago, you said that like sins are only things that leave negative impacts on your mind. And I guess like hearing that eventually if you kind of clean your thoughts, like through time, you'll eventually get better and closer to what you want. That really helped me because I guess I've always been worried that like, okay, if I do something with pure intention and something goes awry in between, like even if I have those good intentions and it leads to kind of like a bad impact, I've always been worried if that like will eventually leave a bad impact, but hearing that it'll eventually kind of clear out, that kind of put my mind to ease. So thank you.
Yeah, thank
you. Nice.
And a very good point. But also I think the intention is God looks at your intention, not at your action. If your intention is pure, and even if sometimes the action turns out to be negative, the intention is more important. The motive is more important than the action. So that's a good point. Thank you so much, everybody. Anybody else? No, I think pretty much we have covered everybody.
I had a question.
Oh, yeah, Kushi, go ahead.
She came now.
You came, I just saw you.
No, I was here. I just started my video. But I just had a question about, like, we talked a lot about, like, heaven and kind of that if you do good deeds in your life. And so my question was, like, theologically, I've seen, like, in other religions, some, like, consider it to be a very real physical place. And some kind of think of that as, like, a mental, like, space. So, like, how would you say that, like, Hinduism and how we define heaven, you know? Like, is it a physical space or is it, more of a mindset or, yeah.
That's an excellent question. It's not a physical space. It is levels of experience because the body doesn't go. See, the body gets cremated or buried. It's the mind and intellect, which is the subtle body, which then goes to higher or lower worlds, you know, either heavens, there are other heavens or hells. So these are zones of experiences. So the body is going through, the subtle body is going through subtler and subtler and purer experiences. The higher you get, the purer is that place. So it's, and of course they talk about, you know, music and dance and food and all that, but it is more a level of subtle level of higher experiences. And then in the highest heaven, which is the Brahma Loka, there once an individual reaches, then he or she does not come back. And if they have not attained enlightenment in this life, then in that Brahma Loka, Brahmaji, the creator himself, instructs them. And they then go on to enlightenment. But the ones who attain enlightenment in this life itself, then they don't even bother to go to heaven or hell. They become one with God and they live forever in that, all these realized masters. But you and I can, through our good deeds, attain higher lokas, they call, higher zones of experience. That's what it is. It's a very subtle thing. It's not a gross world where you go and stay there. And then, once having experienced the results of your good actions or the results of your bad actions, then it is said, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Having exhausted all our good karmas, then we come back to this world to continue our journey. And depending on how many good deeds I have done or bad deeds, accordingly my next life, if I've been born to good parents and have a, you know, good life, then I must have done a lot of good deeds in my previous life. And if I don't do good deeds, then I will either suffer or maybe even be born in a lower life form, maybe born as a buffalo or a mosquito or a dog or cat. Or so, yeah. Thank you. That's a very good question.
Does that answer that? Answer well.
Anybody else? Was I able to answer everybody's question today or...? Do the adults would like to add anything or ask anything or add anything? We have a few minutes.
seniors got their admission?
All the seniors know where they are going to college. Everybody has heard?
Yes.
So congratulations to all of you. We will be having a graduation, Bal Vihar graduation for everybody. It will be in August. Before you go to college, before Bal Vihar starts, we'll have a graduation.
Hopefully by then.
Hopefully by then all this lockdown has been lifted. If the adults don't have anything to add, then we'll do the end of every chapter. Bhagwan Shri Krishna chants. So Sudha, if you can please chant with me. Om Tat Sat Iti.
Om Tat Sat Iti.
Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu.
Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu.
Upanishadsu.
Upanishadsu.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre.
Yoga Shastre.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade.
Jnana Vijnana Yoga Nama. Saptamodhyayah.
Saptamodhyayah.
So I'll just translate that. So at the end of each chapter, the Lord indicates that the chapter is finished. So he says, Om Tat Sat. Those are three God's names. Om, of course, is that the state of total enlightenment. Ma represents the waking dream and deep sleep, and the silence represents the state of enlightenment. So Om is one of God's name. Tat means that. That God whom we think of as far away is here. And Sat means existence. So that existence which we are, and that is Iti. That is how we remember God. And in this way, and then what happens? Thus, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, in the revered Bhagavad Gita, which is what? Upanishad Su, which is an Upanishad. It is the essence of the Upanishads that is taught to us in the Bhagavad Gita. And what does it contain? Brahma Vidya. It is the highest knowledge of Brahman. It's not only the highest knowledge of Brahman, but Yoga Shastre, how we can bring that knowledge into our daily life, whether I'm a student or a householder or a mother or a father, how can I bring that knowledge? That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And who explained it to us? Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. So the Lord Shri Krishna himself talking to Arjuna. Arjuna was the vehicle through which this knowledge has been given to us. Samvada means dialogue between Shri Krishna and Arjuna. And what is the name of this chapter? Jnana Vijnana Yoga Nama. So Jnana means knowledge and Vijnana means wisdom. So how this knowledge can be transformed into wisdom, that is explained in this Saptamo Dhyaya, in this seventh chapter. Now we don't have time to introduce the eighth chapter. I think we're going to do the Hanuman Chalisa. But I can very briefly in two or three lines tell us that these seven terms that we asked about, what is Brahman, what is Karma, what is Adhyatma, what is me, and what is this Adi Bhuta, Adi Deva, and Adi Yajna, these six questions, and how to remember God at the time of death. A lot of people ask that. That will be explained in the eighth chapter, and also what happens after death. First of all, who is God? How we can know him? That is explained again in the eighth chapter. And then what happens after death? What are the two paths? The path of the sun and the path of the moon. That will be explained, the path of light and path of darkness. And then ultimately, this will be explained in the eighth chapter. So it's a very interesting chapter. So we'll start it next week. I think we always chant the Hanuman Chalisa to pray for Hanumanji's grace and blessings in this difficult time. I think we asked Ayushi if she can please do the Hanuman Chalisa. Everybody else can mute and chant with her, but she will be leading us. Apna bhi mute kar do.
Guru Charan Saroj Raja, जमन मुकुर सुधारी वरणौ रघुबर विमल जसव जो दायक फलचारी बुद्धिहीन तनु जान के सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देहुहि हरहु कलेश विकार जय हनुमान ज्ञान गुण सागर जय कपीश तिहु लोक उजागर राम दूत अतुलित बल धामा अंजनी पुत्र पवन सुत नामा महावीर विक्रम बजरंगी कुमति निवार सुमति के संगी कंचन वरन विराज सुवेशा कानन कुंडल कुंचित केश हाथ वज्र और ध्वजा विराजे कांधे मूंज जनेऊ साजे शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन तेज प्रताप महाजगबंदन विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर राम काज करिबे को आतुर प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया राम लखन सीता मन बसिया सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सिया ही दिखावा विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावा भीम रूप धरि असुर संवारे रामचंद्र के काज सवारे लाए सजीवन लखन जियाए श्री रघुवीर हर शिउर लाए रघुपति कीनी बहुत बढ़ाई तुम मम प्रिय भरत ही समभाए सहस बदन तुम रोजस गावे अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगावे सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीसा नारद सारद सहित हीसा यम कुबेर दिकपाल जहाँ थे कभी कोविद कहीं सके कहाँ थे तुम उपकार सुग्रीव ही कीना राम मिलाए राज पद दीना तुमरो मंत्र विभीषण माना लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जाना युग सहस्त्र योजन पर बानु लील्यो दाहि मधुर फल जानु प्रभु मुद्रिका मेली मुख माही जल दिलांग गए अचरज नाही दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते सुगम अनुग्रह तमरे देते राम दुआरे तुम रखवारे होत न आज्ञा बिनु पैसारे सब सुख लहे तुम्हारी शरणा तुम रक्षक काहु को डरना आपन तेज संहारो आपे तीनों लोक हाँकते कापे भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे महावीर जब नाम सुनावे नासे लोक हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत बीरा संकट से हनुमान छुड़ावे मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जो लावे सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा जिनके काज सकल तुम साजा और मनोरथ जो कोई लाए सोई अमित जीवन फल पाए चारो युग पर ताप तुम्हारा है पर सिद्ध जगत उजियारा साधु संत के तुम रखवारे असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नवनिधि के दाता असवर दीन जान की माता राम रसायन तुमरे पासा सदा रहो रघुपति के दासा तुमरे भजन राम को भावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुवर पुर जाई जहाँ जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई और देवता चित्त न धरही हनुमत से सर्व सुख करही संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बल बीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई
कृपा करहुं गुरुदेव की नाई जो शत बार पाठ कर कोई छूट ही बंदी महासुख होई जो यह पढ़े हनुमान चालीसा होए सिद्धि साखी गौरीसा तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा कीजे नाथ हृदय महडेरा कीजे नाथ हृदय महडेरा पवन तनय संकट हरना मंगल मूरति रूप राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुर भूप सियावर राम चंद्र की जय पवन सुत हनुमान की जय उमापति महादेव की जय बोलो भाई सब संतन की जय
थैंक यू ब्यूटिफुल विल डू द क्लोजिंग प्रेयर एवरीबडी कैन म्यूट तुम कर नाम दोनों बोल काये न वाचा मनसेन्द्रिये वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ We can do the opening prayers. Om Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavit Vishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Om Samast Janakalyane, निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्
ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः अथ प्रथमोऽध्यायः अर्जुनविषादयोगः धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामकाः पाण्डवाश्चैव किम कुर्वत सञ्जय सञ्जय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पाण्डवानीकं यूढं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसङ्गम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् पश्येता पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्यमहती च मो यूढां द्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येण धीमता अत्र शूरा महेश्वासा धीमार्जुनसमायुधि मानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथः शिष्टकेतुश्चेकितानः काशीराजश्च वीर्यवान् गुरुजित् कुन्तिभोजश्च शैव्यश्च नरपुङ्गवः युधामन्युश्च विक्रान्तः उत्तमौजाश्च वीर्यवान् याश्च सर्वमहारथाः अस्मान्तु विशिष्टा ये तान्निबोधद्वितोत्तम नायका मम सैन्यस्य संज्ञार्थं तान् ब्रवीमि ते भवान् भीष्मश्च कर्णश्च कृपश्च समितिञ्जयः अश्वत्थामा विकर्णश्च सौमदत्तिस्तथैव च
पद्मजा
अन्ये च बहवः सूराः मदर्थेत्यक्तजीविताः नानाशस्त्रप्रहरणाः सर्वे युद्धविशारदाः अपर्याप्तं तदस्माकं बलं भीष्माभिरक्षितं पर्याप्तं त्विदमेतेषां बलं भीमाभिरक्षितम् अयनेषु च सर्वेषु यथा भागमवस्थिताः भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु भवन्तः सर्व एव हि तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षं गुरुवृद्धः पितामहः सिंहनादं विनद्योच्छैः शङ्खं दध्वौ प्रतापवान् ततः शङ्खाश्च भैर्यश्च सिंहनादं विनद्योच्चैः शङ्खं दध्वौ प्रतापवान् ततः शङ्खाश्च भैर्यश्च पणवानकगोमुखाः सहसैवाभ्यहन्यन्त सशब्दस्तु मूलोऽभवत् ततः श्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते महति स्यन्दने स्थितौ माधवः पाण्डवश्चैव दिव्यौ शङ्खौ प्रदध्मतुः पाञ्चजन्यं हृषीकेशः देवदत्तं धनञ्जयः पौन्द्रं दध्मौ महाशङ्खं भीमकर्मा मृकोदरः अनन्तविजयन् राजा कुन्तीपुत्रो युधिष्ठिरः नकुलः सहदेवश्च सुघोषमणिपुष्पकौ काश्यश्च परमेश्वासः शिखण्डी च महारथः धृष्टद्युम्नो विराटश्च तात्यकिश्चापराजितः द्रुपदो द्रौपदेयाश्च सर्वश पृथिवीपते सौभद्रश्च महाबाहुः शङ्खान् दध्म पृथक् पृथक् सघोषो धार्तराष्ट्राणां हृदयानि व्यदारयत् नभश्च पृथिवीं चैव तुमुलो व्यनुनादयन् अथ व्यवस्थितान् दृष्ट्वा धार्तराष्ट्रान् कपिध्वजः प्रवृत्ते शस्त्रसम्पाते धनुरुद्यम्य पाण्डवः ऋषिकेशं तदा वाक्यम् इदमाह महीपते अर्जुन उवाच तेन योरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मेच्युत यावदेता निरीक्षेऽहं योद्धुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्मया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे योत्स्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं य एतेऽत्र समागताः भारतराष्ट्रस्य दुर्बुद्धेः युद्धे प्रियचिकीर्षवः सञ्जय उवाच एवमुक्तो हृषीकेशः गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्
वेरि नैस् वेरि गुड् अञ्जन
अथ प्रथमोऽध्यायः अर्जुनविषादयोगः धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामकाः पाण्डवाश्चैव किमकुर्वत सञ्जय सञ्जय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पाण्डवानीकं व्यूढं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसङ्गम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् पश्येतां पाण्डुपुत्राणाम् आचार्य महतीं च मु व्यूढां द्रुपदपुत्रेण तव शिष्येण धीमता अत्र शूरा महेश्वासा
भीमार्जुन समायुधि युयुधानो विराटश्च द्रुपदश्च महारथः तिष्ठकेतुश्चेकितानः काशीराजश्च वीर्यवान् पुरुजित् कुन्तिकोचश्च शैत्यश्च नरपुङ्गवः युधामन्युश्च विक्रान्तः उत्तमौजाश्च वीर्यवान् सौभद्रौ द्रौपदेयाश्च सर्व एव महारथाः अस्माकं तु विशिष्टाये तान्निबोधद्विजोत्तमा नायका मम सैन्यस्य धन्यार्थं तान् ब्रवीमि ते भवान् भीष्मश्च कर्णश्च कृपश्च समितिञ्जयः अश्वत्थामाविकर्णश्च सम्मदतिस्तथैव च अन्ये च बहवः शूराः मदध्ये त्यक्तजीविताः नानाशस्त्रप्रहरणाः सर्वे युद्धविशारदाः अपर्याप्तं तदस्माकं बलं भीष्माभिरक्षितं पर्याप्तं त्विदमेतेषां बलं भीमाभिरक्षितम् अयनेषु च सर्वेषु यथा भागमवस्थिताः भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तु भवन्तः सर्व एव हि तस्य सञ्जनयन् हर्षं कुरुवृद्धः पितामहः सिंहनादं विनद्योच्चैः शङ्खं दद्मौ प्रतापवान् ततः शङ्खाश्च धैर्यश्च प्रणवानकगोमुखाः सहसैवाभ्यहन्यन्त सशब्दस्तु मुरोऽभवत् ततश्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते महति स्यन्दने स्थितौ माधवः पाण्डवश्चैव दिव्यौ शङ्खौ प्रदद्मतुः पाञ्चजन्यं हृषीकेशः देवदत्तं धनञ्जयः पौण्ड्रं दद्मौ महाशङ्खं भीमकर्मावृकोदरः अनन्तविजयन् राजा कुन्तीपुत्रो युधिष्ठिरः नकुलः सह देवश्च सुघोषमणिपुष्पकौ काश्यश्च परमेश्वासः शिखण्डी च महारथः तिष्ठद्युम्नो विराटश्च तात्यकिश्चापराजितः द्रुपदौ द्रौपदेयाश्च सर्वश पृथिवीपते सौभद्रश्च महाबाहुः शङ्खान् दद्म पृथक् पृथक् सघोषौ धार्तराष्ट्राणां हृदयानि व्यदारयत् नभश्च पृथिवीं चैव तुमुलो व्यनुनादयन् अथ व्यवस्थितान् दृष्ट्वा धार्तराष्ट्रान् कपिध्वजः प्रवृत्ते शस्त्रसम्पाते धनुरुद्यम्य पाण्डवः हृषीकेशं तदा वाक्यम् इदमाहमधिपते अर्जुन उवाच सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मेच्युत यावदेतानि वीक्षेऽहं योद्धुकामानवस्थितान् कर्मया सह योद्धव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे योज्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं एते च समागताः योज्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं एतेत्र समागताः धार्तराष्ट्रस्य दुर्भोतेः युद्धे प्रियचिकीर्षवः योज्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं य एतेत्र समागताः धार्तराष्ट्रस्य दुर्भोतेः
दुर्बुद्धेः
धार्तराष्ट्रस्य धार्तराष्ट्रस्य
दुर्बुद्धेः सेट् अगेन् धार्तराष्ट्रस्य
धार्तराष्ट्रस्य दुर्बुद्धेः युद्धे प्रियचिकीर्षवः सञ्जय उवाच एव मुक्तो हृषीकेशः गुडाकेशेन भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्
वेरि नैस् वेरि गुड्. So I'll just translate this. So Sanjaya said, Sanjaya, who is our commentator, because Dhritarashtra was blind, he was staying in the palace, but Sanjaya had the Divya Drishti. He staying in the palace, he could see what was going on in the battlefield several miles away. Not only that, but he could even understand the thoughts of everybody, what they are thinking. Not only that kind of Divya Drishti had been given to him by Vedvyasji. So he, Sanjay, then now spoke. He's telling Dhritarashtra what is going on in the battle. So, evam ukto Rishikesha Gudakeshena Bharata. Gudakesha is Arjuna. So, having said, having been told this, who? Rishikesha, having been told by Arjuna to put, he said, Sena yor ubhyor madhye, you know, ratham sthapaya mechuta. So, he had said, please put my chariot in between the two armies. So having been told by Arjuna, what did Rishikesh do? What did Bhagavan Sri Krishna do? Sena yor ubhayor madhye. Ubhayo means two. Between the two armies, madhye army, sthapayitva, having placed his chariot in between the two armies, sena yor ubhayor madhye, what kind of chariot was he? Ratho Uttamam. Ratha Uttamam means the best kind of chariot. The most beautiful chariot in the whole battlefield was theirs, because it had the, you know, the Shvetair Hayair Yukte. They had four white horses and was a beautiful chariot. And of course, Hanumanji was on top and was being driven by Lord Shri Krishna himself. So there cannot be a better chariot than that. So Uttamam, the highest, the best chariot was placed by Bhagavan Sri Krishna between the two armies. So that is what we studied today. Thank you very much. Hari Om. See you next Sunday. Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you.